And welcome to the latest episode of Songs of Our Lives. I'm Brad Rose. I am an artist, a composer, a writer, the founder of Foxy Digitalis, and somebody who thinks about music and sound far more than is healthy. Each week, I invite on a guest to talk about the songs and the music that has meant a lot to them and left its mark. Previous guests include Circuit Dayu, Claire Rousset, Anna Butters. The list goes on. It's a long list. And whenever I record these intros, it kind of leaves me. Anyway, who cares about that? Because this week, we have Macy Stewart. And Macy has got a new album out that is so freaking good. It's called When the Distance is Blue. It's out now on an international anthem. You can get the vinyl in stores now, and then it'll be on digital and streaming formats, I think, sometime later this month. But, so I love the album. And one of the things I love about doing this show is you get into a conversation. In this case, we were talking about the record, but then also, I think there's a part where we're talking about the song. Anyway, you know how sometimes, like, you, like, obviously the music is just really good on this record, but sometimes you connect to a record on sort of a different level where it just, I don't know, like, you feel this, like, really undescribable sort of connection to kind of the feeling of it or something like that. And with this record, I'd kind of been feeling that, like, I was really, it was really resonating with me. And then talking to Macy, it was like, oh yeah, it all makes sense. And those are my favorite moments. So I'm kind of giving, you know, some away, but it's, yeah, that I love when those conversations happen. I love when those moments happen. It's kind of, yeah, it's kind of what it's all about. So, if you haven't heard When the Distance is Blue, you should really check that out. Macy's awesome. She's playing some shows. She just got back from Big Ears. It looked like an amazing weekend down there. One of these days I'm going to get out there. But yeah, good times, of course. So thank you all for listening. As always, please leave a rating or review wherever you listen to this, because it really helps get in more people's ears. And frankly, I think these conversations and what these artists have to say is needs to be heard by more people, because it's just good stuff. And hey, and if you really, really like the show, $3 a month, patreon.com/foxydigitalis, helps keep it going. So thank you to everybody who's done that. And with that, here's the episode, and it rules. My guest today is a composer, an improviser, a violinist, a field recordist, a collaborator. It's Macy Stewart. Welcome to the show.
Woo! Hi. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So you got a new album. It just came out, right? On Friday, was it?
It's true. Out? Yeah, it came out. It came out physically in stores all over the place, and then yeah, it's not on streaming yet, which is kind of awesome. I like that about.
Yeah, I love that. That's how International Anthem does it. How
me too.
I think that's like a really, you know, in the age we live in with streaming and all that stuff, I think that's like a really cool way to sort of push back at it.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that so much. And I'm like, hell yeah, whenever we can.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's called When the Distance is Blue. I should probably mention that. And it's on International Anthem. One of the things that in the description of it that I kept coming back to and that really resonated with me, it talked about it being a love letter to the moments we spend in between. I love that phrase so much. Can you kind of talk about what that means to you a little bit and like how that idea sort of shaped some of the album?
Definitely. I found myself traveling a lot. I mean, I was traveling a lot pre-2020, and then we all had, you know, we all had a break.
Yeah.
In some way or another. And I kind of got back into touring. You know, I think I was feeling burnt out before then, and it was good to be home for a bit. But I was getting back into touring and like finding you know, just finding ways that I like to make music again and like to travel again. And I in 2023, I was gone maybe like 9 months out of the year. It was like crazy amount of traveling. And I was also touring with other people's bands, like not just my own projects, like playing with other people's projects, which wasn't new for me, but I was doing it a lot more than I had been. And I was kind of finding myself like in these moments of like traveling to and from places. And like, you know, you're looking out the window and you're like, look, there's like a, wow, that building's cool. I'll probably never see that again in my entire life. Like, you know, and also like finding myself with weird pockets of downtime that like only happen when you're traveling on tour. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these moments where you're like, what do I do with this random hour in the middle of the day where I'm like walking around, you know, or like, yeah, I'm totally by myself because I'm playing in someone else's project. They have something to do. And I'm like, all right, I'm wandering Barcelona for some reason. And it's really fun. And, you know, I was like doing a lot of just exploring on my own and realizing that, like, you know, I think like also contemplating this feeling of like, I have all these goals and aspirations for myself that I'm trying to head towards. And I keep like, I think I'm kind of a hyper productive person. I like to do a lot of things all the time. And I think sometimes when I find these moments of stillness, my, you know, one instinct of mine is like, that's bad. Like, fill it up, do something, you know? And I think I was grappling with this feeling of like, no, actually, it's good to be bored. It's good to give yourself time to just sit and think and journal or like listen to what's happening around you, mm-hmm, and like how sounds are interacting in a space in a different country in a different, you know. And I found that, you know, even aside from like actual space, just like internal space too, mm-hmm, like in between relationships, in between like periods of time, in between like moving houses, like where that's kind of like where some of that beauty of transformation happens, you know, mm-hmm, is when you like take that gray area and like allow yourself to like really sit in it and marinate it and see what comes from it.
This explains so much of what you said resonates with me, like in the deepest part of my core. Like, I'm a very like productive person, and being still freaks me out sometimes. But that's like, this year has been kind of a weird year, and I was having this conversation the other day about how I'm like trying to learn to be okay with this uncomfortableness that I'm feeling right now, where I don't have, like, I'm not moving from one thing to, like, I don't have this thing on the horizon that I'm moving for. I'm just kind of, I'm in this in-between place. So I'm like, oh, no wonder this record is, like, really hitting me. Like, I get that so much. I love that, though. That's really, yeah. Okay, I'm going to, after this, I'm gonna have to take a moment after we get done with this to think about that. I do want, you talked about, you know, the traveling, and I want to talk about the field recordings, because that's one of the things I really love about the record too. I'm kind of curious what sort of drew you to certain sounds that maybe ended up on the record, or even stuff that didn't end up on the record that you recorded, and how that kind of even helped guide maybe the themes or even just like the sort of sonic environment of the record.
Definitely. I'm an avid journaler, and I do a lot of stream of consciousness journaling, mm-hmm, but you know, sometimes that doesn't quite cut it all the time. And I found myself kind of like maybe audio journaling in a way where I'd be somewhere and I'd be like, oh, that sounds really awesome. I'm just going to like turn my voice recorder on immediately. And like, yeah. And sometimes I would use the Zoom recorder, like the nice quality one. Right. So, but sometimes, I mean, the iPhone sounds honestly pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Being a phone. People ask me all the time about field, like they ask me for advice on field recording. And I'll be like, I'm going to be honest, the majority of the field recordings I have that I end up using come from my phone.
It sounds so good. It's weird. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want it to, but it does. Right.
I know it's kind of annoying in a way, but it's also super helpful. But anyway, it's
cool. Like, accessible to many more people, I guess, in that way. But yeah, I just found myself recording a bunch of things and like, I don't know. And I was listening back to some of the recordings I had, and a lot of them are like animal sounds, like weird frogs or like, or rain. Like I had a lot of sounds of like these crazy summer storms, and I ended up using those in another piece that I made last year. But I was, for this record, I realized like throughout the making of it that like so much of what I was kind of like, I wasn't going into it with like a idea of like, this is what it's about, or like, this mm-hmm. is what I'm making. I was kind of just exploring in the process and trying to follow my intuition as much as I could. And the ones that I got, that I was drawn to for this record, were ones that like announced what space I was in, like what place I was in. Like there are some, there are some recording and like hearing people not necessarily talking to me, but existing in their own right. lives around me. Like there's a recording from, I was waiting for an airplane, in Osaka. I was going to go to Seoul, and I have just like a recording of me sitting on the couch in like reading a book, and everyone's kind of like running around, you know, catching different airplanes. Mm-hmm. And you can hear people chatting. And then I have another recording, like the two big ones are that one, and then one where I'm walking through the Tsukiji fish market, mm-hmm. in Tokyo with my friends. But we weren't really talking. We were just kind of like walking through quickly. Cause I think we like, it was on the Phenom tour. I think we maybe had a show that night or the next night or something. So we were kind of like just checking it out quickly. And then other smaller ones that are on there, it's not necessarily it's kind of a field recording, but like where we recorded the string improvisations and the string pieces mm-hmm. is in this place in Chicago called Comfort Station. That's in Logan Square. And I love that space, particularly because the reverb in it is so unique and incredible. Like you can hear that place. And also because you can hear the cars driving by and people mm-hmm. walking around the building. So it like felt there. I feel like what ended up happening is the record, like the sounds on the record that aren't explicitly like strings and piano and voice are like the sounds of like people living their lives around me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like existing in that space.
Oh, I love that. I want to give a quick shout out to your collaborators on this record. Mm-hmm. Two of which have been on the show before, Leah and Whitney.
My favorite humans.
And yeah, I gained this huge appreciation. I mean, I've always been a fan of Leah's work, but we sort of bonded over our love for the sound of a refrigerator humming on so which is the best. Because it is like, it's, I tell people all the time that is one of my favorite sounds in the world. And how, so I live in Oklahoma. We get a lot of really severe weather here in the spring and in the summer, well, spring, summer, and fall now. Thank you, climate change. But when, like, I figured it out semi recently about how when the power goes out, part of why it feels so uncomfortable and eerie to me, part of it is just because probably means there's bad storms or something. But it's so quiet. It's too quiet. I don't hear like the comfort of that refrigerator. It's a weird thing.
Yeah. I mean, like I love hearing the space around me. Like I feel mm-hmm. like I even like when I'm on tour, sometimes I'm like sharing a room with people who use white noise machines, and mm-hmm. I don't mind those. Like I do like them sometimes, but I realize that like, I am comforted by hearing where I am. Like it doesn't really like, unless it's like super noisy, which I did live above a 4 a.m. bar for 4 years.
Oh man.
But, I like hearing space. It brings me comfort and some sort of Yeah, just like you were saying.
So it makes me, I don't know. For me, it helps me feel like know where I am or something. I don't know. It's, and I like how, you know, you were talking about where you recorded the strings and how you could hear like the people walking by and the cars and how, you know, and a lot of times people are trying to eliminate that, doing everything they can to eliminate that from their, but, and I get that, you know, everything requires different, you know, things, but I think there's something really, there's something really appealing about that, because it kind of, it puts it in a, it kind of changes the context a little bit, and it just makes it, I don't know, seem less separated from everything else going on.
Yeah, I feel like with records, I have come to this conclusion for myself, which might change, who knows, but like, I think when I make records, I want to capture where I am and who I am in that moment, and that could change at any point in time. So I'm like, I like hearing those things, because I think that they, you know, rather than trying to achieve like whatever perfection might mean, I think what's exciting when I'm creating is like, this is a moment in time that will never happen again. And like, I couldn't make that record next year, this wouldn't be possible. And so I'm like, I'm going to capture like time and space as much as I can.
Yeah, I love that. Well, this is going to be my great segue here. Speaking of things that can never happen again, we're going to go into what is the first song that you remember?
Okay, do this thing. The first song I remember is Surfing USA by the Beach Boys.
That might be mine too, honestly. Like,
it's a good one.
Yeah. So what, like, do you have a specific memory, or is it just kind of this amorphous early memory of it?
I have a certain memory, and it's it was a school play. I was in kindergarten. And I mean, my mom and dad had been playing music before that, but I think this is like the one that I concretely remember on my own without like assistance of my parents or something.
Gotcha.
It was a school play, and the person who like the teacher who wrote the plays, like the musicals at the school, basically like, I think our school just like couldn't afford to like get the rights to performing a musical. So she would just like put her favorite songs in and then write kind of a nonsensical thing around it. And then we would all sing it. And the kindergarten class sang Surfing USA.
That's amazing.
And I remember being like, this is the best song I've ever heard. I don't know. I don't know why I was like so drawn to it, but I think maybe, you know, the harmonies and the, it's just fun.
Oh man. Yeah. I have so many. It's one of the, like, I have like these very early memories of listening to records with my dad. And this is the one I remember the most, was listening to Surf and always wanting him like, play that again, play that song again.
Yeah.
And then I was remembering this today when I was on my walk this morning. I must have been like 10 or something, and my parents took me and my sister to, it's like the local minor league baseball team. And then after the baseball game, like the Mike Love Beach Boys played. it was probably one of the first concerts I ever saw. And and then speaking of the school thing, my daughter did this show choir. So she's 11, she's in sixth grade. So last year in fifth grade, she did this show choir thing, and where they, you know, get up, sing a bunch of songs, do some choreography. And Surfing USA was one of the, like, the theme was the ocean, and this is one of the songs they did. So
it lives on. What an incredible band.
I know. And like, even, you know, it's like, obviously like the later stuff, like Surf's Up and all that, is some of the best music ever, but I love this stuff too. And I think I always feel like anytime I'm playing music, even if I'm like improvising and doing something quote unquote experimental, I always am like, in my head, it's like, I'm trying to make something melodic or something. I have a really hard time doing like really atonal stuff. Mm-hmm. And I blame this song as like my first, it's like ingrained in me.
I can relate.
Okay. Well, what is a song? Well, first of all, are you like a big crier?
Of course.
I love wine. In this day and age, we all should be.
Yeah, I am a big fan of crying. It's stress release. It's good.
It is.
It helps you things. I'm a fan. I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, what is the song that'll make you cry?
A song that will make me cry, and I might even cry while talking about it. it's called "Is Anything Wrong" by Lasa Desela. That song is like, it's so sad. It's like, and it's so beautiful too. It's like, it's such a simple melody, such simple words, but like no words are minced. Like it's like, yeah. everything is so intentional, and it's kind of about her like reflecting on her life and how there's just like not enough time. I think she knew she was going to pass away, mm-hmm. and is just like looking back. Oh my God, I am crying. But she's looking back and like, yeah, will time make us wise? You know, will we learn like relationships with people and like with ourselves? And it's such a good song, and her voice is incredible.
Her voice is unbelievable. It's such a heavy song, but there's this real gentleness to it. Yeah. But I think there's like this sort of, and there's like this kind of like this cumulative effect of that. Like it kind of brings you in and like is very warm and inviting, and then like, but then it's so heavy that it sort of swallows you and like in a good way, but it's just, incredible song.
Yeah. Is anything wrong? Oh no. Is anything right? How will we know? Will time make us wise? Like that's
perfection. Like
so good.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, okay. What's the song that'll put you in a better mood?
Ghetto Music by Outkast.
Yeah, man. I was kind of late to Outkast. I don't know. I actually had a conversation on this show with Anna Butters about this because they also were late to Outkast. You're a label mate. There you go.
Yeah.
And God, Outkast is like one of the greatest bands of the last 20 years.
If not the greatest band. I mean, they're like, it's really funny. I have a memory of going to summer camp. The one time I went to like regular summer camp, I was probably like 10 or 11. I was in fifth grade, and there was a talent show. And my best friend and I did an interpretive dance. That was our talent, was an interpretive dance to Hey Ya by Outkast.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. So great. That song is so good. And and then like in high school, my band that I was in a band called Kids These Days, and we were all just like obsessed with Outkast and ghetto music, like the synth line and just the lyrics are delivered, like it goes so hard. It's so good.
I know, and I love how it's just like going a million miles an hour, and then it just suddenly shifts into this like R&B gospel jam or something.
You don't know.
And then it's just like, and it's so, oh my God,
to the bony. That's the lyrics. Yes,
it's so good. God damn, it's so good. And I think like thinking about Hey Ya, which is, I don't know, one of the biggest songs of, again, it's weird as hell.
So weird. Yeah. And I'm like, more of that, please.
Yes.
Like, get the true freaks on the radio.
I know. And it's like, I'm stoked Andre's out here making weird flute, new age records. Like, fuck yeah. But man, let's get back. Come on, Andre.
I know. They were so good. It was cool to see Andre. I saw him at Big Ears last year. Hearing him talk in the same room as me, on the mic, I was just like, that was such a strange experience, because his voice is so recognizable and like so in my soul.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, like, yeah. Ooh, that would be I don't know. I hold him in such like high esteem. He almost doesn't seem like a real person, which isn't fair at all, but like,
no, totally. Yeah.
And both of them, like, I love, like, I think, like, Big Boy is, again, his flow is, oh, anyway, I could talk about Outkast for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah, it makes me happy.
But okay, well, everybody's favorite question: what is objectively the greatest song of all time?
This was a really hard question for me, I think, because I think the concept of, like, best or favorite, I'm like, wait, but I have five.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's why I make people answer.
The one that I ended up choosing, which is just because I love her songwriting as a whole, is Revelator by Gillian Welch.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I think it's such a good song because it's just like, yeah, it's about, like, I don't know. It's time. Again, I think I'm just obsessed with time. I've always been obsessed with time. But yeah, it's just about how time will tell, time will show. Mm-hmm. And, like, you can't stop making things. You just can't.
Yeah. I think, like, this is a little on the nose, like, for this song and what is, but her, there's something about her music that is so utterly, like, just ageless. Like, it it feels like it's always existed or something in the cosmos. I don't know. It's like the way she writes, her voice, her lyrics, it just, I don't know, it, like, exists on this other level to me that seems, it's just incredible.
I agree. Yeah, I think, you know, if I had to choose another song that makes me cry, it would probably just be the entire record.
Yeah. If you need a good crying session, put this record on, people, and you'll be
good. It hits you, it hits in such a deep spot. And yeah, I think that this song to me just, like, is, it's just a perfect song.
Yeah. No arguments for me. And she's just, yeah, like, she's so incredible. Okay, well, what is the song you used to love, but you either heard it recently, or if you think about it now, it doesn't quite do it for you the same?
I chose Hazy Shade of Winter by Simon and Garfunkel. It's like, maybe kind of a fun one, but I, when I was little, I had, like, there were two things that I used to, like, watch and listen to before I went to bed. One of them was Mean Girls, the movie. And then the other one was, I think it's called Old Friends. It was, like, the Simon and Garfunkel compilation. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, I was obsessed with it. It was so great. And I mean, I still do love their songs, but I'm like, now I listen to it and I'm like, it just is, I don't know. It's not, it doesn't hit for me anymore, this song.
Yeah.
This was a hard one to answer because I was like,
I'm sure.
But
Have you heard the Bangles version of this song?
No.
I think I prefer the Bangles, like, you know, we'll get to the cover songs, but there's something about the Bangles version, because I fucking love the Bangles, but, like, yeah, like that, because I still like this song, but
yeah.
I think once I heard the Bangles version, I was like, oh, I'd rather just listen to that. If I'm going to listen to it.
I need to check that one out because, yeah, I mean, there is something about, like, hearing these songs still, though, that, like, puts me in a nostalgic headspace. But right. I think it, like, isn't, they're just, like, not my favorite songs anymore. And
yeah. Yeah, okay. It's always interesting, like, how, I mean, you know, again, talking about time, it's like stuff that I think about, that just stuff that I was obsessed with or just, like, was super formative for me. And now I listen to it and it's like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know. Again, my kid's like 11 and I'm trying to, you know, she's the thing she's obsessed with. And she's just like, I don't want to listen to ever anything else ever again. It's like, yeah, cool. Like, I felt, but, you know. And then, you know, eventually it's like, oh no, I'm listening to this song now. Yeah. Like the other day she was like, oh, I want to show you this song that I heard that I really liked. And it was a Mitski song. And I was like, this is fucking cool. Like, that's, I was awesome. Like, all right. I know. I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, let me show you my favorite Mitski song. She's like, I'm going to add that to my playlist. Yeah.
So what's your favorite Mitski song?
This is like the most obvious answer, but Best American Girl.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
I love that. It's like, yeah. And so now she, like, every morning when I'm taking her to school, and she, like, I let her play the music, like, the last 4 days she's put that song on first. I'm like, I win.
That's awesome.
Okay, what is a song that people hate? I don't know who these people are. Maybe it's everybody. Maybe it's one person. Somebody hates it. You don't care. You love it.
Okay. The context I'm creating for this is me putting on music in the tour van and everyone has to listen to it while I'm driving.
This has been a common framing for this question.
Because I think a lot of people love it, but it's just like maybe not band music, but sure. It's called Tweak Link by Dick Reimarkers, who is like an OG tape
dude.
Tape person. I just found out about it actually from some of my friends in Antwerp. They were like, have you heard this record? And I was like, no.
It the like complete tape recording tape music of Dick? It's like one of my favorite things I own.
It's so fucking good, but it was so funny. I definitely like I put it on the brand and it's like and I was like and then everyone, what's going on? Is the van broken? And I'm like, no, I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah, I can. That would be weird in the van.
Yeah, maybe not great, like DJing for the group on my part. But right. I think it's so sick. Also, it's so ahead of its time. I can't believe it was like
it's like the
50s. Yeah, and that's like. I don't know. It's really cool to listen to and be like, well, that's awesome that existed.
I know. Like people 70 years ago.
Yeah, people have been making like really out there shit for a really long time. And
yeah, cool I think I got this like box set. I don't know. It was 10 or 15 years ago. Like somebody told me about it and I was like, what the hell? Like, I think I found it used on like Discogs back when you could actually get stuff for reasonable prices. And it was, I mean, this is CDs. Nobody pays anything for CDs, but, and it just, I remember like listening to it the first time, just sitting there kind of with my jaw on the floor. Like, how did this exist for this long? And like, I never knew about it.
Yeah.
And, and I can only imagine, I don't know that I've ever listened to this in the car. Like in the van, but because like his whole thing with like the way he uses like the spatial plane and like that's got to be totally messed up in the car like going down the highway
experience. Because when things are like so stereo panned panned to one side, like, and you're sitting in the car, like really you're like, where is that coming from? It's a good one, though.
I love it. What is the most romantic song, and do you think of yourself as a romantic?
I think I am a romantic. I think I can like sometimes turn it off because I can be very like hyper focused on whatever I'm doing. Right. But I think I am a romantic, and I love romance in all facets.
Yeah.
The romance of life. And I think the most romantic song, which I might cry again while thinking of this one, is Bless the Telephone by Lobby Sifter.
Oh my goodness.
It's such a good song. And I think also like as someone who travels a lot, and just, I was just re-reminded of it by a friend of mine while I was on tour last year. And I, you know, like if you have someone you love who's far away from you, like what a beautiful song, you know.
It is like
hearing someone's voice like can brighten your whole day.
And the like the simplicity of it, like the guitar and his voice, and his voice is just heaven.
It is.
And it's just so this song has come up. This is one of the songs that actually now come up more than most songs.
Oh, like really?
This is, I think, the third or fourth time it's come up, which is awesome. It makes me so happy.
Is it just a question?
I can't, you know, I don't know. I think it's been a couple other questions. I think one of them, it was like somebody's, like, at their wedding kind of song. But somebody was telling me, or maybe I read this, how Because, like, I don't know. You could make an argument. This is the greatest song ever written that's under 2 minutes long. And there was, like, an interview with it or something. Like, they asked him about, like, what. He was like, I didn't need to say anymore. This is all I needed. Like.
That gives me chills.
Yeah. And it's.
He said he's done. That's it.
I know. And it's. And it is. It is. It is utter perfection. And yeah.
Yeah.
An artist who I feel like doesn't. I feel like so many people I know don't even know about him. And I'm like, oh my God, you're missing out. So everybody go listen to Bobby Seyfried. Okay. What is the song that changed your perspective on an artist, either for better or for worse?
I chose a for better. and I chose I Couldn't Say It to Your Face by Arthur Russell. Also another contender for greatest song of all time.
I know. I kind of thought this might have been your pick for that because it's like up there for
it was hard to choose.
Yeah.
But this one, because the first record that I heard from Arthur Russell was World of Echo. Mm-hmm. And it was from my friend gave it to me for my birthday and I loved it. And it's like so much, you know, it's like cello improvisation and vocal improvisations, and there are songs, but I would not, it's like, it's so much more nebulous and like soundscapey than that. Mm-hmm. So that was like my knowledge of Arthur Russell's like musical output. And then a couple years later, my friend was like, oh, I want to cover this song for a show. And we learned the song and I was like, wait, what? This is Arthur Russell also? And I think it's like, it was really inspiring to me. I've been thinking about him a lot, actually, Arthur Russell, because it was just really inspiring to me that he had, like, his creative output was so vast and unrestricted. And he was just trying stuff, you know? And he was like, he was making what he wanted to make. And I think it makes me really sad that he didn't, you know, he didn't get his poetic flowers in his life. And I feel like right now people are really like, there is an Arthur Russell renaissance happening right now, I think.
Yeah,
for sure. My friend Liz Moen just did like a cover record of Arthur Russell songs a couple years ago that I played on. And yeah, I just got to like dive into his work in a real way. And I think it like, yeah, it changed my perspective on him, but also just like as a whole, where it's like people have been like, I don't know, the people that really inspire me or people that really inspire me are like people who just like can only make what they make and want to make, you know, just love making things, you know, and it doesn't have to be in this box. Like it can be so, so vast.
Yeah. And, I had a really similar experience with it because I think World of Echo was the first thing I heard. And then, hearing that it was like, wait, he also like wrote song and they're amazing. And
they're like unbelievable songs.
I mean, and this, like the lyrics of this song, like, oh my God, it's such a great, like, it's just so visceral. Arthur Russell. Yeah. He's like one of my heroes. I can't. Like you said, it's totally exactly what you said, how this idea of just doing what you want to do, like what's, I don't know. And, you know, I think a lot of us as like artists and musicians, it's, you kind of feel like you don't, a lot of stuff, it's like, I don't feel like I have a choice. It's like, I got to get it out of me somehow.
Yeah. I got to make something.
Yeah. And the way that he just embraced whatever that was and didn't like. Yeah. And I still can't believe that he was making this stuff 30, 40 years ago.
And I mean, it's so timeless and I can't either. I mean, what an incredible creative mind.
I know. One of like, love him. I get emotional thinking about Arthur because again, anyway. Okay.
I know. I'm like yet another person that just like, you know, like, why, universe?
I know. Okay, lyrics. Are you big lyric? Do you, are lyrics like a big thing to you? Do you pay attention to lyrics?
I love lyrics. And I think they've been my like greatest struggle, but also like, like when there are truly good lyrics. Like, you could, I think there are truly bad lyrics out there and they are rampant. And,
yes.
And like, when you come across truly good lyrics, I mean, that's kind of, it's the best. I feel like words are difficult, and that's why I am drawn to music, but I also want to be able to communicate things in a, I don't know, you know, it, with words, you know, and yeah, I have a lot of feelings about stuff, but they are very important to me. And
I'm really curious what your favorite lyrics that you picked are.
I picked Hummingbird by Wilco. Mm. I love that song. And I think I picked it because it was probably the first song I remember being like, wow, these lyrics are amazing.
Yeah.
I first listened to Wilco in high school, and I feel really lucky now because I get to play music with Jeff and make music with Jeff now. So, and that's like, it feels crazy to me. Like, it feels regular now, but then if I actually think about it, I'm like, oh my God, so cool. Right. Like, songwriting heroes I get to, and like musical heroes I get to make things with, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I love this song. Like, to be able to tell a story in a poetic way and still leave room for interpretation and for you to find yourself in the song too. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It's doing so many things. While also like being super intentional and clear with like the way it's presenting it. And, I don't know. I love this song. And I think that also the thing about lyrics too, is like being able to pair it with a great melody. Like, you could have lyrics, but like, maybe it doesn't, you know, it might not hit as well.
Right. Yeah. The ones that like really stay with you, it's that combination of those two. Plus, like you said, like, it's telling the story, but it's also leaving space for you to find, like, threading that needle of all those things.
Yeah. So and I think that it's got such a great opening line too, which his goal in life was to be an echo. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, that one that like makes the hairs on my arms stand. That's such a good line.
It's so good. I know. Yeah. Anyway, so that's my choice for favorite lyrics.
Yeah, no, I love this song. So And it's just like, it's just a great song too. Like,
yeah.
Jim O'Rourke's on there. And,
another favorite. I didn't even put any Jim O'Rourke on here.
Hey, he's on this song, so there you go. He made the cut.
Well, the favorite of all time, but
yeah. He's like one of those people, it's like hard to pick. For me, it'd be hard to pick. It's just Jim O'Rourke. I don't know. I can't, like, it's, yeah. It's hard to whittle him like down to something. I don't know. What was the last song you completely fell in love with?
It's called Figure and I by Christine Lexper. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce the last name, but that song is unbelievable. And another one that's like a short song and just like packs it with a punch. When I first started dating my partner, they put it on a playlist for me. It was like in the like first month, and I was like, excuse me? and this song was so like, yeah, the song is so good. And I don't know, I'm like completely obsessed with it still. Just like the instrumentation, the arrangement, the song, the like melody. I was like sending it to everyone I knew. And I think also it just like, because it was on like a really sweet playlist. Like,
sure.
Now when I hear it, I like am brought back to like that, like the feeling of hearing it for the first time. So that's my pick for that one.
Yeah, I'd never heard this before, and I've probably listened to it like 20 times or something since I got your list. It is so good.
It's so good. It's such a cool song. It's one of those things where I'm like, damn it, I wanted to make that, and now I didn't know I wanted to make it. Now I know, but I can't because someone already made it. You know, those are my favorite kinds of things.
Yeah, there's, yeah, I don't know. There's like something about just like, I don't know, it, her voice, the sound of it. I'm obsessed with the way the bass sounds, like the bass tone.
Yes.
It's, I can't even explain why and what it is about it, but it just, there, it's so unique and, I sit around thinking about tone of a bass on a song I've known about for a week. That's,
yeah, that's what I'm there. I'm right there. Right there.
Okay. Well, what cover song is better than the original?
Okay. I cheated and I had to choose two, and I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah. It's totally fair.
Mine was a tie between Dirty Work by the Pointer Sisters, so it's a Steely Dan song, or Let It Be Me by Nina Simone, which is an Everly Brothers song. The Dirty Work by Pointer Sisters, like, I don't know. That one's just like, I do love the Steely Dan version a lot. And we have like a cover band that does like New Year's Eve parties sometimes just for fun. And we cover that song because it's just like,
nice.
It's a good song. But the Pointer Sisters version is just like, I don't know. They're just the best. There's nothing more about that. It's just like, it just goes even harder than the Steely Dan version.
This is like one of the Steely Dan songs that like I'm okay with. I don't really get, but I was like, I wonder how many more Steely Dan songs I would like a lot more if it was, they were just sang by the Pointer Sisters.
I mean, yeah, I probably a lot. I feel that way for certain people too. But yeah, I'm like, that one's really good. And then Let It Be Me. I mean, Nina Simone is like unbelievable, as we all know. And was like, yeah, she's, her music is really amazing and important to me. And this song actually, for Leah and her partner's wedding, we did a cover of it like during the wedding. I had never heard it before. Like, I had heard the Everly Brothers version, which I do, I love them too, but the Nina Simone version is so tear inducing and so like it's like a hug. It's like listening to a hug, and it's such a good version of that song.
Yeah, the original is great, but there's such a different gravity to it when Nina sings it. It can be hard to listen to in that sense. Yeah. Like, it's not something that I can just put on. But it's, I mean, she's one of the greatest that has ever done anything. So
I agree.
Okay, last two questions. So what is the song that means the most to you? Not necessarily because of the song itself, but you associate it with something or someone. And that's why it's so important.
I chose, this one was also kind of hard for me, but I ended up choosing Hot Fun in the Summertime by Sly and the Family Stone, because it reminds me of being like 15, 16 years old and going to, actually, like, so I'm in a band called Phenome, and it's with Seema Cunningham, but I used to play music with her brother Liam, and we were in bands in high school, and it reminds me of like going to their house for rehearsal, and like we used to lay on the ground in their living room and like listen to records. Like, that was where I heard In a Silent Way by Miles Davis for the first time, and where I heard like, yeah, just like a bunch of, or wait, is that, I may be mixed up who that is by, but that's fine. Embarrassing. But but we listened to a lot of like Sly and the Family Stone, and it was just like, I think it was just a moment where I was like, oh, here's another world that's opening up of like people I'm playing with and like music I'm listening to. And like, I think just getting older, and yeah, so I associate it with that time period, just being like, oh, I'm becoming my own person.
Right.
And Sly and the Family Stone, I chose this song because it's really fun, but ultimately it was really like just like all of the Sly and the Family Stone music. It's so, you know, like If You Want Me to Stay, I think was the other one that I was like tied with for this playlist. I mean, he's a legend. I hope he's doing well.
Yeah, for sure. So first of all, In a Silent Way is Miles Davis' record.
I was like, my brain was like, did I? I don't know.
I totally understand. But yeah, speaking of like, well, fun and young, this is what this sounds like. This is what I love Sly and the Family Stone. I love this song. I didn't even realize this as I was like prepping for this. Like, this never actually appeared on an album. It was just on their greatest hits, which is insane to me.
I know. I mean,
but yeah, that's like a really like the moment you were describing of just like, cause I have very similar, you know, experience that, like thinking about like now I'm going down this sort of rabbit hole of like, I wonder what a playlist of like those songs that were at that time in my life, like what that would be. And that's really kind of fun to think about. And especially like as my kid is, you know, like getting towards that age and starting to get, it's like, oh man, what a time in your life that is though too. That's like such a, I don't know.
Yeah, it was fun. I think that was like, I think it felt pivotal to me because it was when I was like starting to be in a band that was touring and being like, ooh, I might not pursue classical piano as a, like, I might not go to college for classical piano. Like it all, like where that led me shifted the course of my entire life.
That's amazing.
And so,
did you not go to college for classical piano?
No. Nope, I was touring. I went on tour.
You went to the great song though. All right, what's your favorite song?
Sensual World by Kate Bush. She's the freaking goat. She's I mean I love her and I love her music, and it's so funny because I feel like when I was, my dad loves Kate Bush and we used to listen to Kate Bush on family road trip. Awesome. But the song that I remember from those family road trips is, we used to call it the washing machine song. I think it's called like Mrs. Bartoletti. It's like the name.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, my washing machine. Really high. And my sister and I would be like, turn it off. It's so funny because like, you know, then I had a friend put Sensual World on a mixtape for me when I was like a freshman. And I was like, what the hell is this? And I think from then on, it just like became such a deep love for Kate Bush. And then like Seema and I did, we did a show called Full Bush, which was like a Kate Bush, like not really a tribute show. It's more just like a show inspired by the energy of Kate Bush scored by Full Bush songs.
Awesome.
Where we were all Kate Bush, and then like
so cool.
Then Alex Grelly was Lindsay Kemp, and like there was like it was just like really fun. And I love this song because it's so fantastical, and the end of the song where she just says it's sometimes so that plays in my head while I'm doing something, like if I like complete a task or something, I'll be like
right.
Kate Bush's voice in my head. But I love this song, and we tried to cover this one time, and we were like, actually wait, it's impossible.
Yeah, that would be hard.
We should choose a different one. It's too hard. I love that it's also just kind of a mystery to me in some ways, because it's just such an intuitive song.
Yeah, I,
as is most of her music.
I know. Like Kate Bush is the goat. She's like instilled to this, I don't know. And I love that she got like a moment a couple years ago with like the whole Stranger Things thing, and like
made me so happy.
I know, and I hope she made a pile of money from it too. And me too. But like, and I just loved how like her reaction to it was so like she was like, I don't know. She's just such like a positive force for good in the world.
Like, I agree.
And I love her so much. And I don't know. Somebody was asking me this. I had this conversation. I don't know. It's been a while now. But it's like, oh, what's your favorite? I can't pick a favorite Kate Bush. Like, I mean,
it's too hard.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, it depends on the day of the week. Like,
yeah. Like,
Hounds of Love was the first one. Like, it was my sensual war. Like, somebody played it for me. And I was like, oh my God, what the hell is this? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, your first thing is always kind of got a little bit of an extra soft spot, but like, yeah, literally everything, I don't know, wash it all over me.
Agree.
Yeah. And if you ever find yourself, you know, trying to figure out something, like, just ask yourself what Kate Bush would do.
Exactly. And
there's your answer.
Such another just like incredibly creative being who was like, I'm gonna do whatever I want.
Yeah, I'm gonna do what I want, do it my way.
Always inspiring to me.
Absolutely. Well, this was way too much fun.
So fun.
Thank you so much for doing this. So, Where the Distance is Blue, out now on physical format. So go to your local record store and buy a copy. Or it'll be out on streaming like in a month or so. But
yeah,
go buy it. Go buy the record, people. Come on. Are you touring? Any shows coming up?
I'm doing some record release shows. One in Chicago at Constellation on April 3rd. And then New York, May 11th, Philly, May 8th, and LA, April 29th. So those are like my US shows. And then I'm going to Europe in June.
Awesome.
And I'm announcing those dates really soon. But they're with Leah Cole and Whitney Johnson.
Oh,
we'll all be together, and they'll be doing they'll be playing with their duo as well.
So cool. Awesome.
I know. I feel blessed.
Well, everybody, go see shows, buy the record, and Macy, thank you.
Thank you so much. This was really fun.
Once again, thank you to Macy Stewart for recording this right before. This is like days before she headed out to Big Ears. When the Distance is Blue, vinyl is out now, an international anthem, digital streaming services soon. It's a phenomenal record. I think it's funny. I'd listened to it a bunch, and then we recorded this and talked about it. And as I said at the top of the show here, some of the stuff she said, talking about sort of the experience behind it, just clicked so much. Like, everything kind of clicked into place. And I've listened to it so many times since then, like in the last week. It's amazing record. Check out, you can listen to all her picks, link in the show notes. There's links to the record, to upcoming shows and all of that. Thanks as always for listening. Please leave a rating and review. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/foxydigitalis. Or you could pick up some music on the Jewel Garden or something. You know, every few bucks just helps keep all this churning right along. All right, y'all. Until next time, keep on listening to whatever the hell you want.